Welcome to Crossroads, everybody. My name is Robbie. It's great to have you all here. Why don't you guys stand up? We're going to kick our time off by singing together, all right? So when we hear your voice,
whatever pleases you will be our path. your face and not your hat. Whatever pleases you will be our path. We're trading what we have for what will last. And we will seek your face and not your hand. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
Nice.
Closer to me now.
I know that each of us sends that prayer from a unique place, a unique place of maybe wanting or even needing you to show up in some part of our lives, some of our work life, our family life, our personal life, our health. So God, I ask that you would be true to your word in Scripture, true to your word that says that if we draw near to you, that you will draw near to us. Would you hear this prayer? Would you come? So would you come? Would you come? If I begged you, would you come closer?
Crashes over me, crashes.
thank you that you have made a way for us to enter into your presence. You've made a way for us to know you. And I thank you for this place where we can drop our pretense, or we can drop even our baggage at the door and come in and genuinely seek you. That prayer that we prayed earlier, that we want you to come closer. There are many, many hearts in this room that do want to encounter you for who you are. So we look forward to encountering you this morning. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along. It's great to have you guys. It sounded great. So I'd love for you to do two things. One, if there's any space between you and the people on your left and your right, let's make some room for some people still rolling in. And ask somebody their name and tell them how long you've been coming to Crossroads, all right? Do that, and then we'll give you about a minute, and then sit down.
Right? Hey, my name is Paco. I get to lead student ministry around here in Oakley. And last month at our first ever big event, we had 1,600 middle and high school students in this building. It was a big night. We had a ton of games out here. We had a huge party with a DJ and food. And then students came in here and we had a time of worship and we had a message designed just for them. And it was such a good time that tonight we're going to do it again. Second biggest tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a bigger party out there with more food. We ordered like 800 pizzas. Some pizza delivery guy is about to pay all his student loans off today. Today. It is going to be a huge party out there. We're going to come in here for another time of worship, and then we're going to talk to students tonight about influence, about what it looks like for students to make a difference in their teenage years and not have to wait till they're old and they're gray to start making a difference, that God wants to use them right now in their lives right now. It's going to be a great night. If you are a middle or high school student, you need to be here tonight. Go to crossroads.net/big. You can RSVP. You can get all the information you need, all the questions answered. It's going to be a good night. We're really excited about it. Another thing we're really excited about around here is this thing called The Journey. You guys familiar with The Journey? The Journey starts a week after Easter. It's 6 weeks where everyone around here, from students to children to grown-ups, we all cover the same topic together. This year, our journey is called Brave, and it's all about stepping boldly into God's calling for your life. The journey is made up of three parts. There's a weekend experience that happens here. There's also a immersive prayer experience that we'll be talking about in a little while. And then where the real growth comes is when we break off into smaller community and we go through what's called journey groups. And this year, they're going to be powered by our new Brave app, and we're really pumped about that, but we need people to be able to host journey groups. Hosting a journey group is really easy. Anybody can do it. You can do it. You can host a journey group. Old people can host, young people can host, guys can host, girls can host, married people, single people, dudes with beards that look like Jafar from Aladdin can host. I can host. That's awesome. All you need to do is go to crossroads.net/journey, and you can sign up and get all the information you need. We need you to step in and host a journey group. Now, One of the coolest things that's going on around here is all these new faces. There are a ton of new people here. It's really cool. We're trying to figure out how we can make room for even more folks and how we can accommodate people who are just taking a little bit longer to get through the parking line, a little bit longer to drop kids off in Kids Club and get your drinks and get in here. So we're adjusting some of the service times. It's a really good thing because we're trying to free up space to get everyone in here, okay? So a couple of things about service times. Saturday service times, staying the same, 4:30, 6:15. Sunday at 8:30, staying the same. This service is moving to 10:05, and our next service is moving to 11:55, and that starts the week of April 11th and 12th. Okay, so mark your calendars for that. A lot of good stuff happening. One of the best things about what's going on around here is that we get to help together as a wolf pack fuel it. We get to fuel all the growth and all the things that God's doing around here. So we're going to have an opportunity to be generous and to give right now. And if you're part of this pack, you know how it works. You go to crossroads.net/give, or a bag is going to pass by. If you're brand new this morning, no worries, no pressure. We're glad you're here. Thanks for being here. But if you're newer and you've been here for a couple of weeks, and you're like, man, I want to be a part of this wolf pack, giving is the easiest way to jump on board. So we encourage you to do that. Like I said, crossroads.net/give, or a bag is going to pass by. And while this is happening, we're going to check out one essential dude skill. Check this out.
I'm Andy Lay, and this is Dude Skills. Dude skill number 6, first aid. Johnny.
Hi.
Remember that time we almost died?
Yeah.
You should always have a first aid kit with you when you go camping. If you don't have a first aid kit and you happen to break your leg, here's how to make a splint. All you need is duct tape and bourbon. Seriously though, if you're serious about camping, you need to have the bourbon. Here's how to make a splint. Find a straight stick and lay it parallel to your leg. Get some vines, string, or duct tape and wrap it tightly to the limb. You want to keep the limb as straight as possible to prevent further breakage. That was so dumb. That was awesome, though.
All right, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that dude skill. First of all, if I have a broken leg, can you axe that stick a little bit further away from my broken leg? Second thing, too, dude skill for me, if that happens and I'm with you in the woods, take out your cell phone and call 911. That's what I'm talking about. I'm Chuck, and it's good to be with you guys. We are in our series, Wolfpack, and we're talking about the power of community, and today, we're talking about habits. The power of habits. And everything I say, you're going to be able to apply immediately when you walk out of the door, because we're kicking off Beans and Rice Week today. Let me hear from the soon-to-be gassy people in the house. Yeah. Beans and Rice Week, or as it's been affectionately called around here, 50 Shades of Brown this week. You can sit on that nasty metaphor for a second. It's going to be a lot of fun, honestly. If you have not done this before, we are, as a wolf pack, going to eat differently this week. We're going to eat beans and rice, which is what many people around the world eat all of the time. And we're going to take the difference between beans and rice to feed ourselves or our family and what it would typically cost us to buy groceries or eat out. And we're going to bring that money back next week. And this wolf pack, along with all of the sites of Crossroads, and actually a bunch of other churches in the city are going to collaborate, and we're all going to give to some incredible causes. And so I want you to know, I want you to do this today. I want you to be a part of this today. It's not just about giving up something. It's about giving. And we get to do this. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I thank you for the opportunity to talk today about habits and how it ties into things that you're calling this wolf pack to be about, like beans and rice. So God, I pray that people would be personally helped today by the wisdom that you have for us around how to change and how to change our habits. And I also pray that we would be motivated and inspired to the things you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Kirk Perry talked about protecting people in poverty and told just a powerful personal story of his journey from poverty. If you were here last week, wasn't that amazing to hear? Just, it's awesome to hear him talk about his life. Kirk Perry, if you weren't here, is the president of Brand Solutions at a little company you might have heard of called Google. And he's a part of this wolf pack. And he runs, his job is to, he's responsible for 98% of Google's profits. That's amazing. And yet, what he talked about was, having come from poverty, if there weren't a wolf pack of people around him giving him a hand up, not just a hand out, there's no way he would have been where he is today. And it was really cool to hear him talk about that. And that's why we do Beans and Rice. This is our third year doing it, and we do it because we want to help people who can't help themselves. We want to help people who are in a difficult place. And all of the money that we raise as a wolf pack goes outside of Crossroads. We don't keep any of it. It all goes to be a blessing. And this year, we're going to invest in four incredible initiatives I'm excited about. I want to tell you about them. The first is we're going to take some of that beans and rice money and invest in increasing foster care and adoption in our city. That's what we're going to do. So the challenge with the foster care system in Cincinnati is really a sad one. 2,500 children are in the foster care system in Cincinnati, and of that 2,500, up to 40% of them have to be shipped away as far as Toledo, Ohio, or Lexington, Kentucky, because there aren't enough families bringing in children who need them in our city, and we don't think that's okay. And so we have been, for years, partnering with Coalition of Care. Coalition of Care is an incredible team of people who are bringing together churches and other organizations with this vision, that every child in Cincinnati would have a home. That every child in our city would have a home. In fact, over the last 4 years, there's been about 50 families at Crossroads that have been trained and are now equipped and are now bringing in foster children, and many of those have led to the adoption of children as well. That's good news. That's good news. And we can do more. We can do more. We can fund and finance more of that to happen in our city, and we're going to do that. So that's the first place where our money's going to be going for beans and rice. The second thing is we're going to care for the homeless in our city. We're going to take care of the homeless in our city in a tangible way. We know, and Kirk talked about this, that for people who are in the working poor, CityLink Center is an incredible place where they get a co-location of services and relationship to help them move to a place of thriving. And there are also the extreme poor in our city, particularly those that are homeless. There's about 7,000 homeless people in our city, and of that 7,000, 2,000 are children. And again, we know that breaks God's heart, and we don't want to just sit idly by. We want to be a blessing. We want to be a part of it. And so we're partnering with a trusted organization that is serving the homeless in our city, has been for years, City Gospel Mission. So we're going to be fueling City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission, in addition to providing beds for people, also provides spaces for growth, recovery, for them to intersect people who know and love Jesus and who want to love them. And we are going to partner with them. They are actually moving to a new facility that will double and in some cases triple their capacity to serve the homeless. And we're going to help them close that gap and build this building so there'll be people in our city who are cared for. The third initiative that we're going after is creating economic vitality in our city. You know, the truth is foster care and the need for children to have homes and people in our city who are homeless are downstream problems that exist because of brokenness in our systems and brokenness in our world. And we are absolutely clear on this. Jesus calls us to care for the orphan. He calls us to care for the widow. He calls us to consider the poor. And we're doing that. We also know that Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. And one of the things God is interested in is upstream co-creation with him of things that create opportunities, that create economic viability in a city. And we want to invest in that too. So for the second year in a row, we're investing in the Ocean Accelerator, the Ocean Business Accelerator, which is actually housed right across the parking lot in the Oakley Annex. And man, this is an incredible nonprofit startup. So there are 200 business accelerators around the world. And what they do is take entrepreneurs that have viable business ideas and they give them coaching and development and access to resources and investors so that they can go to the next place. And the reason you would do that is because if you want that in your city, you want it because if those businesses choose to house themselves here, it means job creation. It means a lot of opportunity in the city. You want this. The thing is, of those 200, there's only one in the world that in addition to helping entrepreneurs with their business skills and marketing and all of the other things about accessing capital, also builds their spiritual capital through a discipleship investment. The only one in the world is right across the parking lot. It's Ocean. So we're investing. We want to continue to pour fuel on that fire. I got to spend some time with those business leaders. And I tell you what, I love what's happening there. I love that we're funding and fueling that because I know that's going to create opportunity upstream. And we want to be about that too, because that's the whole picture of the kingdom of God. And the fourth initiative is we are going to continue in the battle to fight heroin in our city. We're going to continue that. So you may recall last year was our first investment. We made an investment through Beans and Rice in fighting heroin in our city. Some incredible things have come from that. In Mason, we actually took the $50,000 and multiplied it fivefold. They had a gala. They brought together business leaders and other influencers, and they've raised $250,000 to come against heroin in our city with the $50,000 investment of Beans and Rice last year. That's awesome. That's awesome. And there's more to do in Mason, there's more to do in the northern suburbs, and there's more to do right here. So Oakley, our PAC, our funds for heroin are going to go to Teen Challenge. This is a blue chip, top-notch, Christ-centered organization in Milford, and we know that we have an opportunity to impact real lives every day. You know, the likelihood is someone in your row has probably lost someone to this already. I mean, it's that dramatic and it's that extensive. And we know Teen Challenge is a partner that's doing great work to bring life change for people and break the cycles of addiction. And we get to fund and fuel that. In fact, last year, one of the investors, one of the receivers of our investment in the Beans and Rice fight against heroin is a guy who wrote a letter recently to our Florence campus pastor. And I just want to read a little bit of it to you. He says, "I'm a student at Teen Challenge in Manchester, Kentucky. I entered the program in June of 2014, and I just graduated in January. I want you to understand, none of this would have been possible for me without your support. A lot of forgiveness and restoration has taken place since I've been here. Teen Challenge focuses on people 18 to 35 years old. This is probably a guy in his 20s, I'm guessing, from what he says next. He says, God has restored my family and has given us true forgiveness. See, my wife and I have been divorced for 7 years. We only first began to talk to each other in May of 2014. But God is so good to us. And in November of 2014, right here at Teen Challenge, our director remarried my wife and I." It's a guy who regained his marriage as he walked through the journey of recovery. And he says, "I don't know if words could ever express how thankful I am to Christ who died on that cross for me and how your unselfish giving has changed my life. There's a song titled Thank You by Ray Bolts. It expresses how I feel. So from my wife, my children, and I love this, he says, from my grandchildren," because he recognizes that the investment that's been made in him is not just going to change him, it's going to change a generation in his family yet to come. So he says, "On behalf of my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and myself, thank you." Who's excited? I'm excited. Man, you know what? Gas me away. Seriously. If this is the kind of thing I get to be a part of, man, I can't imagine something better. And I tell you what, we're talking about habits today because if you change your habits this week, you will change your life. No doubt about it. There's a lot of things you could do this week that might be different than last week. But I tell you what, if you change your eating habits for 1 week and do beans and rice, you will change lives in our city. So I want to talk about how you change habits. How do habits foster change that God wants in your life? First, quick question. I might be the only one. Does anybody have anything in their life they'd like to change? Okay, I'm not the only one. Good, this might be helpful then, because I know there's some things in my life that I'd like to change. And if you've tried to change habits, you know how difficult it is. Truth is, we are creatures of habit. But a lot of us, man, we have bad habits. You know, coming into the weekend, I was trying to think of just some examples of bad habits in my life. You know, just things that I know aren't great for me. And sometimes I'll go and ask Maria for help in a message. And so I went to my wife and I said, "Hey, you know, do I have any bad habits that you think might be worth talking about this week?" Her first response was, "How much time do you have? You don't know what we're working with here." So apparently I have some bad habits. I do. And one of the bad habits I have, and I am intentionally breaking, is this. Over the last year, I've just realized when I come in the house from a day of work, my kids, they're excited to see me, particularly my boys, they're excited to see me. But they do something that's become annoying. They say my name like 12 times. daddy, 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 daddy. It's like really, you know, it's like, what is that? And then I realized, oh, you know what it is? They're so used to me coming in with cell phone coma, and I'm trying to finish that last text or email. They've learned they have to say my name multiple times to break the attention from the phone and get it on them. Hi, my name is Chuck, and I am not the father of the year. I mean, like, that's a bad habit. That's a bad habit. I have other bad habits that aren't as bad, I guess, but still problematic. So, and apparently, for some reason, my wife had a lot in the food category. So one of them is I love chips and salsa. It's one of my favorite snacks. We have that in our house all the time. And one of the things I think, believe deeply, is you should be a good citizen when it comes to the salsa bowl. Just I see that a little bit differently than maybe she does. So for me, being a good citizen means when I dip my chip, instead of like taking it away from the bowl, and when I eat it, all the stuff that I don't get would drip onto the table or into a napkin. I just want to eat it over the bowl so like the next person can. Oh, you guys think that's a problem too? Okay, maybe I should change that. That's a bad habit I have. So, you know, that one came to mind very quickly for her. Another bad habit I have, also with food, is really kind of more of a weird quirk, I admit, but it's just kind of how I do it. So every now and then I'll eat cold cereal. And like most people who eat cold cereal, I put the cereal in the bowl and then I put milk in the bowl. Only problem is I don't really want the milk in my mouth. So what I do is before every spoonful, I drain the spoon on the side of the bowl and then I eat the cereal, which makes perfect sense to me. Does anybody else do that? I'm starting a community group for people who do that because seriously, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But, you know, my wife thinks that's a bad habit. I mean, the truth is I'm making light of obviously little innocent habits, but the truth is we all have habits. Some of us have bad habits we've been trying to break for years, for decades, and we know it is hard. I came across an image that struck me as it related to this weekend. It says, we'll work for change. We'll work for change. The truth is, if there's going to be change in your life, it's going to be because you partner with God and the power he wants to give you to change your habits. Because the Bible recognizes this is hard. Jesus recognizes it's hard to change. One story that we see in the Bible, Matthew 19, is Jesus was approached by a rich young ruler, the Bible says, a guy with money, guy with status, and guy with power. And he says, Jesus, what do I need to do to follow you, to change and be in your team? And Jesus says, basically, give up your money, give up your status, and give up your power. And the guy can't do it. And Jesus says this after that exchange to his disciples. He says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And this isn't, I don't think this is specific only to rich people. I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, if you're wealthy, you have a spiritual problem. That's not what he's saying. There are other places in the Bible where we see Jesus applauding wealthy people and the use of wealth. So that's not what he's saying here. I think Jesus is getting to a core principle, which is this. It's really difficult for comfortable people to change. Because change requires discomfort. I think that's really ultimately what he's saying. We know that. That's not only true spiritually, that's also true developmentally. What psychology has taught us. This is an image that if you're an educator, you're probably very familiar with the zone of proximal development. The zone of proximal development. But just to explain this to us, the purple represents what I would call your comfort zone. So whatever it is, good habits or bad habits, you have a comfort zone. There are things that you naturally do, you do well, you're familiar with them, you do them automatically. These are where our habits exist today. And obviously, if you want to change, you want to go to a new place. The green represents the zone that's actually a stretch zone. It's out of reach for you, meaning you physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you can't get there on your own. You can't get there on your own. So what you have to do is spend time in what they call the zone of proximal development. I'm going to call that the growth zone. You could also think about that as the God zone. And you have to spend time growing in that place. And here's the encouraging thing for all of us. Change is possible in that place. But the way change happens in the growth zone is through what they call scaffolding. Scaffolding, meaning you need resources outside of yourself to stay in the growth zone long enough because it's uncomfortable to move to the place where actually your growth zone becomes your new comfort zone. And actually your stretch zone will then become your comfort zone and you will actually be able to grow beyond what you thought possible. This is the way development works. And here's the thing, you can't do it on your own. But thankfully, when Jesus told his disciples about the rich young ruler, he didn't end the story with, so it's too bad for him. He says this just a couple of verses later. He says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So change is hard, but I want you to know change is possible. So how can we change our habits? There's a great book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, and he really does a scientific review of how we change our habits. Very, very practical book. And there's a TED Talk about it. There's some podcasts I've listened to about it. And one of the things he talks about are keystone habits. Keystone habits. And he says keystone habits are kind of habits that have a chain reaction in our lives, and they affect other habits because they're base, they're core. And one of the things he says is a keystone habit is something that, good or bad, it gives you a sense of early wins. So if you're trying to do a positive change, keystone habits are good to focus on because it gives you a sense of small victories along the way. The other thing is a keystone habit is a habit from which others grow. So it becomes the soil that enables more change in your life. And one of the reasons for that is a keystone habit is also what gives you the energy and the confidence to do more. It's what gives you the energy and confidence to stay in the growth zone long enough to where your stretch zone becomes your growth zone, and ultimately your stretch zone can become a comfort zone for you. So as I think about this from a spiritual perspective, I think there are three keystone habits to change that show up in the scriptures all over the place, but we find them kind of captured in one or two sentences in the book of Hebrews, which is a letter to early followers of Jesus. And in Hebrews 10:24, it says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." Three keystone habits for change in these verses. The first is this, connection over independence. The habit of choosing connection over independence. Let's go back to what it says in Hebrews. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. I know for me, every time I've grown in a competence or I've grown in character, it's been through a wolf pack. It's been because I've been connected to people who are further along that journey than me, and they've been able to help me grow in that area. That's been true for me in the physical realm. It's been true for me in the spiritual realm. It's been true in all of my life. I talked a couple weeks ago about overcoming an addiction to pornography and my journey on that, and how for me, being a part of that recovery group, a wolf pack, was critical to my journey to freedom in that area, and it still is, my journey to stay free in that area. Speaking to large groups, doing what I'm doing right now. I mean, I can name specific people who've invested in me and helped me grow in this area. Brian Tome, Brian Wells, Andrew Peters, Justin Wolfenberg, Matt Welty, Kyle Ranson. I mean, these are people who have helped me because I've been connected to them grow in this skill set. And I know some of you are like, man, I hope they're still investing in you. I get it. But if you can believe it, I used to be even worse than this. So there's something to this thing. You know, also, there's one recently that I said I want to be good at. I want to be a good camper. I want to be really good at camping. I grew up in Philadelphia, in the city, and for some reason in the concrete streets of Philadelphia, there wasn't a lot of tent camping at night. That just didn't happen a lot. But I did go camping a couple times with my dad, but I just want, like, I don't feel competent there. And I would like to pass on to my children a legacy where they are very competent at that, and we have regular family memories of being together around a campfire, cut away from technology, just being with each other, enjoying God and enjoying nature. I want that for my family. So I want to grow in that competence. And I've learned, if I want to accelerate growth, if I want to change a habit, get with people who are already doing that really well. And I'm doing that. I'm spending time with people who know how to camp. One of the things I've also realized with camping, the gear is really expensive. If you find an expert, they usually have extra gear to borrow. So that is awesome. And I want to grow with that. So that's something that I have realized. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't know what it is you want to grow in. But I tell you what, man, if you can join a team and go to a meeting, it will accelerate that change. Why do I say that? Join a team and go to a meeting. AA, hard to argue that AA is a wolf pack that gets results when it comes to change, right? Hard to argue that. They get results, been getting results. In every kind of context, doesn't matter, they get results. One of the things they say in AA is if you really want to break that addictive cycle, if you're in a season of that and you want to break it, do 90 meetings in 90 days. 90 meetings in 90 days. Why? Because of the power of connection. Because if you can choose the habit of connection 90 times, it gets you to a rhythm where that will be the default in your life. And we also know that 90 days is about the time where your body chemically starts to release some of the things that make you draw you to that addictive substance. So there's great wisdom and great insight in and through things like that. So I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if it's trying to be a better parent, trying to be a better dad. I don't know what it is, being a better mom, if you want to grow in your business, if you want to grow a skill set, if you want to learn how to camp, whatever it is, join a team and go to a meeting. And it will accelerate change. If you choose the habit of connection over the habit of independence, you'll grow. Going back to Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Notice it doesn't say good intentions. To love and good intentions. It says love and good works. Some translations say good deeds, good action. Second keystone habit for change is choosing action over intention. Choosing action over intention. I was listening to a podcast yesterday morning and heard this insight that I was like, man, this is really powerful. He talked about the difference between a morality of intention and a morality of action. And he was making the case that our culture right now really operates in a morality of intention. And what that means is this: you get kudos and pats on the back by just intending to do the right thing. You don't have to do it, but just intending to do it. So when people say, hey man, you know what, this is the year. I'm gonna tutor some kids. I just feel like that's something I need to do. I'm gonna tutor some kids. You get kudos when you just say, I'm thinking about tutoring kids. Dude, you're such a spiritual person. Man. Those kids, oh man, you are awesome. Now you haven't signed up for Whiz Kids. You haven't signed up for anything, but you intend to do it. Man, this is the year, man. I'm gonna be a better person this year. How many people have heard that? How many people have said that? I'm gonna be a better person this year. You intend to be a better person this year. Oh, really, man? What's one step you're taking in that direction? I don't know, but I'm going to be a better person this year. I mean, the truth is, morality of intentions is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything if you're not acting on those intentions. Morality of action would say you get kudos and props when you sign up and tutor a kid. You get kudos and props when you actually do something different to be a better person this year. And I want to submit to you that Jesus does not operate in a morality of intentions. He operates in a morality of action. There's a place in the Gospels where Jesus is teaching, and he says this. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who built his house upon the rock. Not just who hears the words, but who hears these words of mine and does them. Jesus is about morality of action, not intention. And we should be too. You know, the crazy thing is, church people can sometimes be the worst when it comes to a morality of intentions. Because if you're a churchy kind of person, you might have religious language that you can use to hide the fact that you're not acting on things. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. It bears repeating. Church people will often say, I'm praying about it. So, you know, you talk to people and say, man, you know, I really feel like we're supposed to adopt a child. Or I really feel like we're supposed to jump in and be one of those foster families. Cool. So what are you doing? Well, we're just praying about it. Okay, wait a second. You told me that God, you think, has put something in your heart to be an adoptive parent, to be a foster parent. You feel like that. And your next step is to go back to God and ask him to clarify what he just told you? I mean, the truth is this. Yes, pray about everything. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I believe in that. Man, I pray. But we don't want to just pray about it. We want to be about it too. Don't just pray about it. Yes, pray about it, but be about it too. My wife and I go to a marriage counselor, and he's just, man, just full of wisdom. He's been really helpful to us in so many ways. And we went 2 weeks ago, and at the last session, he said something about fear that I'm like, hey, can I quote you on that? And so I have his permission to do this. And I was like, man, I'm using that. That'll preach. You know, you're a preacher. Whenever anybody says anything pithy and wise, you're like, I'm going to use that in a message. That's how it works. So if you say anything pithy and wise to me, I'll probably use it in a message. I will give you credit, but I will use it. So we were there, and he was talking about overcoming fear. And he said, you know, the truth is you can't outthink your fears. You can only outbehave your fears. And I was like, man, that is good. That'll preach, right? I'm like, that'll preach. You can't outthink your fears. You can only outbehave them. And what he was saying was basically, if you just think good thoughts, courageous thoughts, that's not going to help you overcome fear. The only way you overcome fear is you actually walk and do the thing that you're afraid to do. You move. You move. Millard Fuller, who founded Habitat for Humanity, put it this way. He said, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than think your way into a new way of acting. And so we want to be people who have a bias to action, not intention. Hey, let me tell you something. Every weekend at Oakley, you heard about, you know, we're changing service times. God's bringing new people. Listen, every weekend at Oakley, there are hundreds of people who operate with a bias to action, a bias to serve. We call them unpaid workers. They're volunteers, and they're in Kids Club, and they're in First Impressions, and they're operating some of the cameras that are happening right now, and we need to thank those people right now. We need to know how they're blessing us. And some of them are seated because they served at previous services. And I tell you what, man, this pack has a bias to action. It's one of the things I love about being a part of Crossroads. And so if you're new, jump in. Jump in. Don't just jump in because we're growing and we need more hands in different roles. We do. But can I just tell you, if you talk to any of these people who have a bias to action to serve, they'll tell you how getting involved changed their life. They'll tell you how getting involved created opportunities for them to grow in relationship and connection they could have never imagined before. Maybe it's signing up the host for the journey group. Get in the game. We have a bias to action as a community, and it makes a difference. I'm seeing this in a fresh way in the lives of some guys that I am spiritually investing in. I invited these guys into a relationship with me where I'm sharing with them the things that I've learned from following Jesus with the expectation that they will turn around and share that with other people and lead other people in the way that I am looking to lead them. It's called discipleship. And recently, one of them, my friend Lou, sat down and just talked about how being a part of this group where we don't just talk about things, but we act. They get homework and they're acting, how it's producing fruit in his life. Take a look.
Man, where do I start? So you guys remember we first got together. Was it back in August?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I would just sit kind of in the background listening to you guys, never really engaging. Every once in a while, I would say something. And I realized, about two months ago, a breakthrough happened in my life. Mm-hmm. I remember trying to sit there, and I felt this urging and prompting that I needed to say something to you guys. Mm-hmm. It was up into that moment that I realized that I was in a dark place. I didn't realize maybe I had been suffering from depression. I was depressed about my life. Had suffered a breakup, you know, a relationship issue. I didn't think was going to go that direction. Some issues with possibly having prostate cancer. And all those situations compounded and just put, had me in a very, very dark place. And it, months had passed. And even after we would get together, I wouldn't even... wouldn't say anything. I just didn't feel like I had the strength that I was even worthy to be sitting at the table with you guys. And prompting came, and it was rough. I resisted. I started to sweat. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just shared with you guys how afraid I was to even say anything. But I had to say it. I had to speak. I felt like if I didn't, I would continue in that place. I opened my mouth, and I just started to share with you guys, you know, what I had been experiencing. And it was very powerful for me because we went around a circle and I had to look at each one of you in the eye and literally repent of whatever the issue was or the sin was that I was holding back. And as I repented, you guys affirmed me and spoke into my life. And what's amazing about that is that I just saw my life from that day forward. The things that I started to do in my life changed. I've given on a regular basis, and that has never happened in my life. Right. You know, me giving to a church or to a building. So the ministry of Crossroads, I've given to them like on a regular basis now. Being involved in some of the ministries that I'm involved here, volunteering with the God Experiment, being a part of G5, just some amazing things have happened. Watching you, Ted, when you came back from India, some of the moments we shared about destroying idols in our lives. That was just so impactful for me in my life. Darian, I mean, like the same age, brother, but I watch you and I see how you speak about the love you have for your wife. I mean, both of you guys, like, everyone's married in this group. I'm the only single guy, and I watch you men, and you are a good example to me on how a man should, like, love his wife and raise his family. His daughter and his sons. It's exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's exciting to me. I look at my future, I look at my walk with the Lord, and I definitely know that the relationship that we have, the wolf pack that we have, has contributed greatly to that future and the success that I'm looking forward to. Definitely. So I thank you guys for that.
Thank you for your friendship.
Gosh, I love those guys. And all of us have been changed in profound ways. And I really think it's the combination of connection and action that's causing that deep change, that's causing fruit in all kinds of ways to pop up over our lives. So, man, I just would encourage you to be a person who's acting, not just good intentions, but acting. How do you do that? How do you cultivate that habit? Do something every day. Do something every day toward the person you want to become. Do something every day toward the person God is calling you to be. There are things in my life that I do every day. Every day, I connect with God. Every day, and I don't do it because I'm a pastor. I do it because he is my father. He's my king, and I want to get marching orders from him. I want to be reminded of my identity based on who he says I am, not the other things, not my performance even would say that I am. I do that every day, every day. Doesn't mean every day I'm spending 3 hours praying. Doesn't mean that, but every day there's a meaningful connection I have with God. Every day I connect with my pack. Every day I connect with my pack. Every day my wife and I find a way to connect. It could be via text because it's going to be a crazy night. We have 3 young kids. It doesn't look the same all the time. But we find a way to connect. Even if at the end of the night there's a couple of minutes together to just connect after the kids go to bed and before I fall asleep on the couch and then she wakes me up and I go upstairs. Whatever it is, we connect every day. Every day I do breakfast and I do bedtime with my kids because I want to have a regular rhythm of connecting with them. Every day I call someone from my pack, whether it be one of the guys you saw there, one of the guys that I've gone through recovery with and still in community with, I call someone from my pack every day. Every day. Because these actions determine the direction that I'm going to ultimately head. And I believe God is empowering me to identify those things on a daily basis and lean into them for strength. What are the things that you could do every day for the person that God's calling you to be? Think about that and act on those things. Keystone habit. Keystone habit. Connection over independence. Keystone habit for change. Keystone habit for change. Choosing action over intention. And the third and final one is choosing sacrifice over indifference. Sacrifice over indifference. Elie Wiesel is a very well-known survivor of the German concentration camps. Survived the Holocaust. And he has just incredible, profound things to say about a lot of that experience. One of the most profound things he said to me, or to me, he didn't say it to me, I read it in a book, was this. He said, I haven't met the guy, was the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. I think he's absolutely right. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. It's doing nothing. The truth is, what you value, you will sacrifice for. What you love, you will sacrifice for. I love my family. And there's a level of sacrifice for my family because I love them. If you want to see what I care about, look at what I sacrifice for. A friend of mine recently got diagnosed second time with a recurrence of cancer. And this wolf pack is praying for her. Praying for her. And one of the things we did a few weeks ago is we said, we're going to go without food for a period of time so we can intensify and unify around our prayers for God to heal her completely. Why would I sacrifice? Because I love her. I care about her, and that's what we do. I give to Crossroads on a regular basis. Why do I do that? I give because I care and love what God's doing in and through people in this place. I love you. I don't know if you know that or not. I sacrifice because I love you. And I love not just the people who are here, but I love the people in our city who need to be here. The people that need to know that there is a God who says they are worth dying for. I love them, and I want to sacrifice so we reach them. I want to sacrifice so that there are kids who have an incredible experience in Kids Club like my kids do. I sacrifice for that. We, as a Mingo family, sacrifice for that because we love and care about that. What is it that you're sacrificing for? What is it that you're sacrificing for? You should have something in your life, or maybe think about it this way. What is it that you want to sacrifice for? If you can't point to anything, what would you want to sacrifice? What would be worth that for you? But here's the great thing about sacrifice when you're talking about a pack that's connected to Jesus. We aren't sacrificing out of guilt. The great thing about beans and rice is nobody should be doing this out of guilt. You know, I mean, because this guilt is like maybe how this thing works in other experiences you've had, right? You know, I'm sitting up here, I got my notes, and let me go through my notes. Have I guilted them enough to do beans and rice? Maybe I need to read a story of another orphan who needs a home. Maybe that'll help people be guilty enough to do it. Maybe I need to read a story of somebody who overdosed on heroin, the impact it had on the family. I mean, the truth is, I don't want you sacrificing out of guilt. Followers of Jesus don't sacrifice out of guilt. This wolf pack doesn't sacrifice out of guilt. We sacrifice out of gratitude. Because Jesus sacrificed for us. So our sacrifices come from a place of knowing we are incredibly wealthy when it comes to the economy of the kingdom of God. And we want to share the wealth. We want to share the wealth. But here's the deal. If you want to cultivate the habit of sacrifice, you've got to put skin in the game. You got to put skin in the game. So the application, what I'm calling all of us to do this week is to adopt a habit for a week of eating beans and rice. For 1 week, change your habits so you can change lives and do beans and rice. Let me tell you something. In 2 weeks, we are going to celebrate as a wolf pack the life change that we fueled together. And it's going to be awesome. And the only people who won't be able to celebrate are the people who don't have skin in the game. Because the truth is, whether you give $5 or $500, whether you give up Skyline or you give up Boca, you will be able to share equally in the celebration because you shared in the sacrifice. That's awesome, and I want that for you. Come on and do this with us. Hey, maybe you're new, and you're like, man, I don't know if I trust you guys with the money thing. Hey, this is a great opportunity to jump in because all of the money goes outside of Crossroads. We're not keeping any of it. So it's a great opportunity to step in and be a part of this pack. You know, for some people, you've been around here for a couple weeks. This is your first opportunity to be in on something big around here. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. So make a plan. Make a plan. Maybe for you, it's one meal a day. Maybe for you, two. Maybe for you, three. If you go all in and do three, you will be gassy. Let me tell you, you will be gassy. But you will also be changing lives. And so whatever that looks like for you, some people just say, we're going to eat what's in our pantry currently and in our fridge currently, and we won't do additional grocery shopping this week, and we'll take what we would have spent on that additional shopping, additional eating out, and we'll give that. Maybe you're going to give up drinking alcohol when you go out this week, and that's going to be part of the beans and rice investment that you make. Maybe you're going to give up, God forbid, Diet Coke for a week, just for a week, for a week. Don't give me any mean emails about that, but just for a week and give up Diet Coke, and that's going to be your thing. Whatever it is, figure out a way to engage. Here's what you should not do. Don't talk yourself out of this. Don't talk yourself out of it. On Thursday, we were sitting down, and we just happened to be eating beans and rice. My wife is Puerto Rican, so we have beans and rice a lot, and it's awesome. So we were eating beans and rice, and I said, what a great opportunity to kind of cast vision for my 6-year-old son, Nathan, and my 3-year-old son, Sam, about the beans and rice week, what we're going to do as a family. So I'm sitting down, and I'm talking to them about, hey, you know, we're going to give up food that we would typically eat, and we'll just eat beans and rice, and so we'll be able to help some kids find homes and help families support them, and we'll be able to help some other people in need. It's going to be great, guys. I'm really excited about it. And my 6-year-old, I mean, you would think he'd be getting more and more happy, but he just was getting, he had a look of distraught. He was just like, And I'm like, something's not registering. So I keep talking. I'm trying to explain. And then eventually Nathan just jumps in. He says, Dad. Because the truth is, Nathan thought what I was saying is from that meal on Thursday, he wouldn't eat again until next week. So he breaks. He's like, Dad, Mom, Dad, do you want me to die? I'm like, Back up the truck as a parent. Try again, right? But here's the deal. Some of you might feel like Nathan. And you're like, I don't want to do this. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't talk yourself out of this. This is a great opportunity for you to cultivate the kind of habits that lead to the kind of life that changes and changes the world. So who's with me? Who's with me? Who's in? I want you guys to do this. Together, we're going to be doing this. It's going to be amazing. Next week, we're going to be bringing back our contribution. You can bring it back in physical cash. That's what we're going to do as a family. Actually, Kids Club has these give boxes. So we're going to give some to Nathan, some to Sam, so they can have a tangible experience of giving to be a blessing to other people. Maybe you want to do that. Maybe that works for your family. Others of us, we got to go digital, because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen digitally. So if that's the case, download the app, crossroads.net/give. There's a drop-down box there for beans and rice. Maybe you're doing it day by day. I'm skipping lunch. That would have been $10. $10 to beans and rice, and you can follow through the week that way. Maybe you'll do it in one fell swoop because you know what that is. Whatever it is, make a plan and be a part of it. We will change our habits as a pack, and we will change the world. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to be a part of what you're doing in our city this week. And so, God, because what beans and rice looks like will be different for each individual, each family, God, I just pray that you would inspire us with creative ideas and help us to connect, to know that through social media and other ways, we can be a part of a community going in the same direction on this. I pray that you would give us a bias to action, that we wouldn't leave here and not act immediately. There's something that each of us can do today to begin this fast, and I pray that we would. And God, I pray that we would know that our sacrifice is a sacrifice out of gratitude for all that you've given us. And I pray that we would be thankful every time we eat beans and rice. It would be not just a moment to pray for the people we're investing in, the lives and the life change we're investing in, but an opportunity to be thankful for how you provide for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, go get them. Beans and rice starts right now.